The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers, welcome to another session of our program, The Clear Criterion. Inshallah, we will carry on from the last discussion regarding the hypocrites and the way the hypocrites would mock the believers and mock the fact that the believers would believe the way they did. Their manner of embracing faith or their devotion to faith was mocked by the hypocrites during the prophetic era. We will look at some other traits or some other points which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about them, and we'll move on in the verses of the Quran accordingly. Before we continue with our discussion regarding the hypocrites, following our routine, I would like to share with you a short reminder, a point of excellence regarding sending blessings in favor of the best in creation, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, who told us that we should send blessings upon him often, because this action of sending blessings upon him is forgiveness for sins. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Another beautiful reminder for us that by sending this supplication, this beautiful gift of a supplication of blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, not only is this in compliance with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a means for our sins to be forgiven. And when we think about our shortcomings, we think about our days, our nights, intentionally, unintentionally, we often are. And we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we seek all and any means of forgiveness and salvation that we can attain. And one beautiful way of attaining this purification from sins is to send blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the passion and the devotion to be punctual and to make a routine in sending blessings upon his beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Moving on in our discussion, first I would like to share or recite the verses with the translation, and then we'll move on in our main discussion regarding the hypocrites during the prophetic era. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, continuing from verse 14 of Surah Baqarah, Allah says, وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا, that when these hypocrites, when they meet those who believe, what do they say? They say, we have embraced Islam, we have embraced faith. So the hypocrites, when they are in the presence of the Muslims, they're declaring their faith and saying that we believe in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues. Allah says, وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَىٰ شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. And when they are alone with their devils, it's interesting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes human beings who are misguided or disbelievers or hypocrites at the very least as being devils. And those who go against the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt they follow the devil's path. But it's interesting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them in this way. An interesting point or reminder here, which will come later in the Quran at some point, is that Allah has described all the devils are of two types: the human devils and the devils of the jinn. And we would think that the invisible devils, the devils that we cannot see, would be more dangerous. But many of the Mufassirun mention that it is the human devils that are more dangerous. And they allude to that by drawing attention to the fact that when Allah mentions both types, He mentions the human devils first. So that's something interesting to consider. Coming back to this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, and when they are alone with their devils, they say, we are with you, We were only mocking. We were only mocking them. So when these hypocrites are with the believers, they say, we believe in Islam, we believe in the religion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we believe in Allah. And as soon as they would be with the disbelievers or the chiefs of the disbelievers at the very least, they would say, to confess to them that according to them, this is all a joke. Did they take this seriousness, or they take this affiliation with Islam and this declaration of Islam in the presence of Muslims, this whole idea of being seemingly being brothers of faith, this whole idea was a mockery, this was a joke for them. And they were mocking what they thought they were mocking the believers, the prophetic companions, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Allah subhanahu ta'ala says, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim wa yamudduhum fi tughyanihim ya'mahun. Allah will give them the recompense of their mockery, but for now He is granting them respite that they remain blindly wandering in their transgression. So Allah subhanahu ta'ala is well aware of what they are doing and what their intentions are. Allah has simply given them some time. And Allah chooses to leave them wandering in their transgression, because those who choose a path of misguidance, they do so on their own accord. They do so due to their own decisions, personal decisions. They were not forced to make a decision that took them away from the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them respite until they are, if He wills, to be seized, or they change their ways, change their path. Coming back to this discussion about hypocrites, in different places of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the animosity, the aversion that these hypocrites had for the believers. And He mentions in Surah Al-Imran the powerful examples of how the believers are being reminded that they should not have an affinity towards the hypocrites, because these hypocrites, they don't love them at all. In fact, they want the believers to suffer. They want them to face tribulations. And this is something which makes them happy. They're elated by any trouble that the believers face. And as far as their personal condition is concerned, the hypocrites, they become so angry that at one point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, die in your rage. Die in your anger. Say to these hypocrites, these disbelievers, that they become so angry due to their animosity for the truth. Let them die in this anger. And Allah describes them as chewing upon their fingers, biting their fingers with anger. When someone is really angry and they happen to have their fingers in their mouth, and they without realizing it, they bite, or just to suppress that anger, they bite on their fingers. These are the descriptions given of the disbelievers and the hypocrites in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also reminds the believers that despite this whole game that they think they're playing, despite all this deceit, they cannot harm the believers. They cannot harm those who stand for the truth, the flag bearers of Islam, because these, the people of the truth, are protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah has declared that their mockery and their deceit will not harm the believers, then this will always be the case. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us about people who will come towards the end of time, liars and false people, how they will have a certain garb of religiousness, how they will deceive people. And the Prophet ﷺ used powerful words about them, warning us about them. He said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ, that you should keep them away from yourself and you should stay away from them yourselves. So keep them away from you and you stay away from them. And the Prophet ﷺ said, lest, if you don't do this, if you don't keep yourself away from them and keep them away from you, what may happen? Lest they may misguide you, or they may place you in a trial. They create a discord for you, or put you in a difficult situation of tribulation. These are the words that are mentioned in Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warning us about people who disguise themselves in a religious way, but they really are misguided people, and they will take the guided people, they will try to entice them and try to lure them towards their way of misguidance and deviation. The great Mujaddid Imam, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul Rahman, describes, he discusses this whole idea of hypocrites and how hypocrites, they disguise themselves. He mentions the famous example that we often read about. The expression we hear is a wolf in sheep's clothing. So this is exactly the term, or this is the exact same example that he also uses. But before he mentions that, he says, no one cares more about the believers than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, and then His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So for as believers, what Allah has commanded us to do, and what the way of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, this is the best way for us. If anyone claims, or if anyone tries to persuade us, to or convince us to follow a different path, then they can be likened to those wolves who disguise themselves as sheep. They disguise themselves as peaceful, as kind or compassionate, but their motives are wrong because they want to take us away from the path of truth. And he says that the sheep that strays will obviously be hunted or will be attacked by the wolves. So these wolves will come in a disguise and they will try to be as convincing as they can be. But we have to remember that above all, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam who have taught us and given us the message of the truth. This is most important for us, and this is over and above anything else that other people call us towards. First is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and thereafter we will consider the opinions of others or the requests of others in this creation. Another reminder here that the hypocrites were mocking the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. It is a very serious offense to mock certain elements of the religion. Sometimes mocking an element of the religion or denigration of an element of the religion can lead to disbelief. So for example, if someone says anything he thinks is in jest, or he's mocking any of the prophets alayhim wasalam, for whatever reason he may give, or whatever attempt of justification, mocking the prophets alayhim wasalam, whether it's our prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam or any of the other noble prophets alayhim wasalam, this incurs disbelief. One leaves the fold of Islam. And mocking or disrespecting the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, this is misguidance. And to disrespect or to mock the ulama, if it is due to their knowledge, then the ruling is of disbelief here as well. But if it is not due to their knowledge, not due to what they represent, it is still forbidden. So anyone or anything that has been given honor in our religion, you must maintain the element of respect and right conduct, good etiquette, if we want to preserve our faith. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الدَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. These are the very people who purchased misguidance in exchange of guidance. An example being given of the hypocrites and the disbelievers, that it is as if they have conducted a transaction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing their purchase as, they are purchasing misguidance in exchange for guidance. So they're giving away, the hypocrites here especially, they're giving away guidance or the opportunity of being guided for misguidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extends this metaphor by saying in the Quran, فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. Hence their transaction did not incur any profit, and these people did not even know the way. They did not even know how to conduct profitable business, if we say it with the example Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. The disbelievers, the hypocrites who resorted to disbelief but showed themselves to be believers just for the people, they have conducted a transaction in which they have given away guidance and purchased misguidance. And this is such a business that was not profitable for them. In fact, they did not even know what is profitable for them. If they did, they would not even have had or they would not even have conducted such a transaction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving this example for those, it includes those who in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, or generally speaking, they embrace Islam, or they embraced Islam, or they were inclined to Islam and they turned away. Ultimately, they turned away from Islam. It could also include the Jewish community in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them who knew about the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were waiting for him. They knew all the signs of the final Prophet. They knew what was mentioned in the Torah. But when he came sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they denied. So despite having this guidance, or despite having this knowledge, they did not uphold the truth in this matter. This can also include people in general who turn away from belief, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given humankind intelligence. He has shown so many signs in creation to humankind. There are signs in the life and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam himself. So to ignore all this, to ignore all of this, is like that transaction which does not bring any profit. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another, the first of two examples that are mentioned about the hypocrites and those who are in doubt about their belief, who are not sure, or they keep changing. They're not firm. They do not have certainty in their belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا. Their example is like the one who kindled a fire. فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And when the fire illuminated his surroundings, Allah took away their light and left them in darkness. They see nothing. So just imagine an individual who kindles a fire. The fire is burning. And just as this fire, the flames rise and it creates light around him, suddenly that fire is extinguished and the person who kindled that fire is left in darkness. Now in this darkness, he sees nothing. This example is one of the examples that is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of those who initially were given guidance, or they had some exposure to guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah had given them the ability to accept this guidance, to embrace the truth, but they wasted it. They wasted this opportunity. And then they regretted it thereafter, because as soon as they turned away from the truth, the light went and they were left in darkness. And this darkness is such that now they have nowhere to turn. Now they have no sense of direction. Because immediately after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, صُمٌّ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Deaf, dumb, blind, so they will not return. After being given, or after being shown or seeing this guidance, to waste that opportunity and have that light of guidance taken away, then being left in this condition where there is total darkness, there is no sense of direction. Once the truth was denied, then the senses, the perception, the doors of perception, the doors of correct perception were closed. Now they cannot use their senses to come back to the truth. There is no return for them because they have sealed their fate due to their actions, due to their staunch denial of the truth. The other example Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, he says, "O kasayyibin min as-sama'i fihi dhulumatun wa ra'dun wa barq." Or their example is like torrential rain which falls from the sky, in which there is darkness, thunder and lightning. يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ مِنَ الصَّوَاعِقِ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they place their fingers in their ears due to the roaring thunder, fearing death. But try to imagine this. The torrential rain, the darkness, the thunder, the lightning. They're so afraid of this roaring thunder that they place their fingers in their ears. They don't want to listen to it. That is like someone who does not want to hear the truth, even in this world. When someone is being told a bitter truth, does not want to hear it or accept it, he often puts his hands over his ears. Or he'll say, don't talk to me about this. When the truth of death is mentioned, they don't want to hear it. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the other example that he is giving is of the torrential rain which falls from the sky, which has darkness within it. It has thunder and lightning, and the roaring thunder causes them, these people, these hypocrites, to place their fingers in their ears. Allah says about them, وَاللَّهُ مُحِيطٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. Allah encompasses the disbelievers. These disbelievers might think that they can carry on doing what they're doing and there is no retribution for them and no one is watching them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses them with His knowledge. Allah knows of their every move, every motive, every emotion, every intention. So here, being in this state of doubt, it's as if they are in darkness. And when the lightning strikes, or there is lightning, a stranger, a wayfarer, a traveler who is afraid of the dark, doesn't want to commit to going forward or in any direction, continues to stay in this state of fear, in this darkness. When there is some light due to the lightning, they see that they have some sense of direction, or they see something and they make an effort, they proceed a little bit. As soon as the light goes away, they retreat again. So even when they see signs of faith, it is not enough for them, meaning they do not make that commitment to embrace faith. In the beginning, very beginning of Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the pious people as being people who believe in the unseen. And this was one of the biggest obstacles for the hypocrites. That although they would see certain signs, it was not enough for them, meaning they themselves could not bring themselves to accept this truth. Hence, they were like those people who were apprehensive. They're in the darkness, they move a little towards the light, but then they retreat again back into the darkness of disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this, again, linked to this example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ يَخْتَفُ أَبْصَارَهُمْ. It seems the lightning will take away their eyes, meaning their sight. كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْ فِيهِ. Whenever there was some light for them, they began walking therein. وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا. And when darkness overcame them, they remained standing. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ. Had Allah willed, He would have taken away their ears and eyes. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Indeed, Allah has power over everything. So the description that was given of the hypocrites, the two descriptions that were given, one of that man, that individual who kindles the fire, sees some light surrounding it, and then suddenly that fire, that light is taken away. And here the one who is in that torrential rain, in the darkness, in the roaring thunder, hearing the roaring thunder, quaking with fear, but not being committed to the truth. The example of that person who is in doubt, and the believers are believers who are firm in their faith. They have no doubt about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Towards the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us that He has power over everything. A few points or some important things to remember here, to keep in mind. The power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generally includes every possible thing that befits His will or majesty. That which is one, necessary, or two, impossible in terms of their attribution or their link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not included in His qudra or in His power. For example, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a necessary attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not under the qudra or the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it will not never be the case that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes knowledge away from himself, because knowledge is a necessary attribute of his subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then just like knowledge can never be taken away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a necessary attribute. Anything which does not befit his majesty, like attributing, Allah forbid, lying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this whole idea of possibility, this does not befit the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not worthy of being part of divine will or divine power, and for this reason it is not included in or considered in the qudra or the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes all, generally includes all things that befit his majesty, and those elements that are wajib, necessarily part of his nature, they obviously are always with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those things which are impossible, which do not befit his majesty, will never be included in the qudra of Allah. We stop here and we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to understand the Quran, to learn more about the Quran, to be inspired by the explanations of the Quran given by our pious predecessors. Ameen, bijahin nabil, ameen. Keep watching Madani channel. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد.
The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.